Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our meeting this afternoon. It is Tuesday, March 17th. It's 2 o'clock, 2:02 actually, to be exact. March 17th, 2020. We've come together for a special meeting this afternoon in reference to adopt resolution 2020-017, but we'd like to call roll first.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Bettenhoy?
Here.
Councilmember Fass?
Here.
Here.
Well, we do look a little different today, don't we?
Did we get squeezed out? We lost the chair.
Member Salino?
Here.
Mayor Pinon?
Here.
I don't think you called me. Did she call me?
I believe she did.
Yeah. Did you? Yes. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Did she say yes?
Yes. I want to be included.
You don't get to vote twice.
Yeah, just one. This afternoon, we're going to be discussing information in regards to, well, we have a closed session in regards to that, but we move to administrative business number one, adopt resolution 2020-017, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Reedley proclaiming the existence or threatening existence of a local emergency. And I will turn this over to City Manager.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As city manager, I'll tell you that this is the type of special meeting I wish I would never have to call. So I appreciate you all being here. I do want to point out that on the agenda, we referenced that two council members may be calling in via teleconference. We have all five present. So for the sake of anyone listening in, we do have all five present with us. And that is allowable, even though two were referenced in by teleconference on the agenda. And just so that in case any members of the public are listening in or referencing this later, under the governor's executive order of last week, teleconferencing is allowable, and even to the point where a quorum is not necessary in the chamber presence, but can be via teleconference. So we are all legal to have this special meeting. As you all know, we are experiencing some unprecedented times right now with the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic that has gone across the globe and now entered into the United States. The reason we're here today is to discuss whether the City of Reedley should issue a declaration of local emergency. As your Director of Emergency Services, and let me back up and say the Municipal Code for the City of Reedley under Chapter 8, Section 2, does define the city manager as the Director of Emergency Services. So as your Director of Emergency Services, I've asked the council to consider calling a declaration of local emergency. Now, I recognize right now we are unaware of any cases specifically within the City of Reedley for coronavirus. We have limited cases in Fresno County as of right now compared to the rest of the state. But the declaration can be called for the threatened existence of a condition, not simply that we are in the midst of the disaster. And I do believe, as your Director of Emergency Services, that at this point it would be wise and prudent to begin the process by declaring a local emergency for a few key reasons. At this point, the county has declared a public health emergency. Multiple cities within the county, including the City of Fresno, the City of Selma, the City of Clovis, have now also declared a local emergency. And there are some key benefits to doing so. One is certain provisions of our code concerning timelines for making decisions are waived. Does not mean that we don't go to the public for those decisions. It doesn't mean we don't ratify those, so there is still transparency when those decisions are made. but timelines that may hold us back from making rapid decisions are waived. So we are able to make decisions rapidly should the coronavirus spread through Reedley. That is one benefit of the declaration being in place. The other very big benefit of the declaration being in place is that if we do declare, then any costs associated with preparing for or dealing with the coronavirus may be reimbursed by the state and federal government. I will give you the for instance, which may seem very minor at this point, but as it adds up, we have had to cancel some events at the community center. Those are costs that we might be able to get reimbursed by the state and federal government because it was caused by the coronavirus. So as those costs add up more and more, we may have an opportunity to have some fiscal relief if that declaration is in place. If the declaration is not in place, we do not. So there are some very specific benefits for having a declaration. I do want to let you know that that very rationale, I did post to Facebook and I did share with some folks, and it kind of got out a little bit and went a little viral as people were wondering why cities were starting to declare fiscal emergencies or local emergencies. And I think it's helpful for our public to understand that we're not saying that this is a time to be, well, it's never a time to panic. We're not saying this is a time where we have this intense crisis within our city borders right now. We're not saying that at all. What we're saying is we want to be prepared for it if it comes. And God willing, it won't come through our borders like it has in the Bay Area and other places. So I will back up a minute here before the council discusses this to say that we have been proactive in getting some information out to our community. The information and guidance from the federal government and the state is changing almost literally on an hour-by-hour basis. And so it has taken an extraordinary amount of time and energy and effort to follow all of this. Starting last week on Thursday and Friday, we had multiple executive orders from the governor. We had one even over the weekend, and we had one yesterday. And so it's really been nonstop since this started. And that's okay. It needs to be right now. So last Friday, we sent out some information about the closure of the senior center. The seniors who are accustomed to doing the congregate hot meals are getting meals delivered daily if they wish. So that is happening. They are not out of food. We've had multiple churches step up and offer assistance as well. So we have some other things going on. Today, we will issue another update to our community. One of the things, for instance, that we've heard from folks is that they're wondering if they need to boil water. Never even dawned on me that folks would assume that the water system would be contaminated. So we want to make clear to the public, water is safe to drink. You do not need to boil water. You do not need to hoard bottled water. Mm-hmm. Even if the pandemic rolls through this city, the water system will be safe. Mm-hmm. So it's information like that that we'll be getting out this evening in both English and Spanish. We're going to do another 911 reverse call. Mm-hmm. We did that the other day. We did one call in English. We did one call in Spanish. We'll do that again today. In addition, we have connected with some leaders within the Spanish-speaking community who've offered their assistance in actually walking flyers around to places, posting them in stores, because right now that's the community that seems to be the hardest to get information out to. Sylvia has also been able to get the media release to Radio Bilingue, and they're going to issue some information. And once we have the press release translated into Spanish by the end of the day today, any council members who wish to have it or multiple copies of it so that they can hand it out, we'll also provide so that you have that for folks that either that you know who speak Spanish or who deal with a Spanish-speaking population who might not otherwise get the information. So at this point, I will go through some of the information such as the services that we provide in utilities, water, trash, sewer. Nothing has been impacted. It will not be impacted. Our parks are open. However, our parks and recreation programs are all postponed at this point. That includes any Little League programs. It includes any adult swim programs. All the adult sports, the youth sports. Right now, we are keeping the restrooms open in the parks, but that is something that we're considering whether or not we need to close the restrooms. Mm-hmm. We're disinfecting multiple times a day, but if even one person goes in there after we disinfect, who knows what happens? Mm-hmm. So we'll evaluate that as we go along. We also are now urging residents to not come in to pay their utility bills in person, but rather to pay them online or to call us, and they can do it over the phone. We do understand that we have a certain population that does not have access to online or doesn't have a credit card to pay by phone, and so we are going to keep our utility billing counter open just as long as we possibly can. We're taking precautions there. Our staff members are wearing gloves. We do have a window in between customers and our staff. We are disinfecting the front lobby area for customers. However, at some point in time, it may be necessary, like some other small cities have done, for instance, Kingsburg, and close City Hall to any incoming customers. We want to make sure our staff is safe. We have also canceled all of the Easter Carnival, Easter Kids Camps, any events that were coming up. Those are all canceled. We had a few private events at the community center, including a funeral and a wedding, and both of those have been canceled. But we did work with those event organizers, and it really was their decision. It wasn't a thing that the city forced. They thought it was wise to do. We've asked all of the small groups that currently use the community center, like churches, Boys and Girls Club, etc., to postpone any congregating at the center until after this crisis subsides. So right now there is not group usage at the community center or any of the city facilities. We are also getting word out to folks about the new Small Business Administration loans that are available to any of our local businesses that might be experiencing a fiscal crisis due to this. So the chamber is well aware of those loan programs and will assist, and then we'll be getting information out in the call in case any of our residents are also small business owners. They'll know who to turn to. It is not the city they'll turn to, although we'll help them turn to the right agency, and that's the Small Business Administration. So there is a lot going on, as you can tell, as far as our residents and our community are concerned. As far as our employees are concerned, I wanted to talk to you just briefly about that as well. When you issue a declaration, you do need to be aware that any public employee who has taken the oath of office to be an employee of the City of Reedley, and by the way, that is every single employee, including lifeguards, part-timers, under California public law, they are considered disaster service workers, and they can be called upon for all sorts of different duties, even those that fall outside the scope of their current job requirements, upon a disaster. So whereas a lot of people will be asked to stay home, if you are an employee of the City of Reedley and we truly have a disaster or crisis, we can call you in, and you must come in if we call. Now, that's something we don't want to do until we absolutely have to. This crisis is a little different kind than, let's say, an earthquake or a fire that has spread through. And so we are being very cautious with our employees that fall into the high-risk category as defined by the CDC. And the high-risk category is employees over 65, and we do have a couple, employees with chronic health conditions or serious health conditions, and we do have a few of those. So we have had conversations with those employees about whether they wish to stay on the job. Do they have jobs that interact with the public frequently? Do they have jobs that they could telework? Right now, all of the employees are working and on site. We have one that is kind of quasi-teleworking, but has been quasi-teleworking for a while, given what's happening with the health condition he's currently experiencing. So for right now, we do have all hands on deck here, but at any given time, that could change. And when that changes, the services that we provide to our public could potentially also change, but mainly in the areas that we don't have urgent need. So for instance, our engineering counter, our permit counter, those sorts of things, those are areas that we could close down and not see that much of an impact on right now. So I've thrown a lot of information at you. This is definitely a different type of situation than any of us have ever been in before. And so while I would say we're learning as we go, this particular staff I'm very proud of. Over the years that I have been here, for almost 9 years, we have continually and frequently looked at emergency operations planning. And I was just mentioning to Paul this morning that while this is hard on all of us, I mean, we're even sharing emails at 2 a.m. this morning. We're really working around the clock and all weekend long. While it's been hard on us, it's been easy to know what we have to do because we've been ready for a disaster. Now, we thought the disaster was going to be maybe an earthquake or something like that, maybe a fire that rolls through, maybe water, a drought, something. We never expected this kind of a disaster. But I'm so impressed with the staff that we have in place, with the directors that we have. They are ready to go. Each of the departments has plans called continuity of operations planning. Each plan is broken down into four levels. So we're currently at level one. As the disaster worsens, we'll go to different levels. Level four being, of course, that level where we potentially will have to call in other agencies for assistance. And I give you the example of if all of our police officers end up testing positive for coronavirus, we would have to call in mutual aid like the sheriff's office. Similarly, the fire department with volunteers, if this gets bad enough and they're volunteers, they don't want to show up. We do have mutual aid agreements in place with Fresno County Fire, Dinuba, Tulare County Fire. So that would be more of a level four type of situation. So right now, those plans are in place and ready to go, but not necessarily needed to move levels right now. So I've thrown a lot of information at you. It is my recommendation as your Director of Emergency Services that we do declare a local emergency. The emergency would stay in place for as short a duration as possible, and that is written into the code that we are to have a declaration of as short as period as possible. Any decisions that I make as your Director of Emergency Services will be ratified by the council, meaning if we have to act fast, I'll make a decision, but it comes to the council to be ratified, so there's public transparency. And given the law and the ability to do what we need to do when a declaration is issued, there's also the opportunity for me to call you and to get opinions and decisions made. We can do teleconferences and all sorts of things like that. So while a declaration is a little unnerving, because that means sometimes decisions will be made before we have a meeting, in this particular case, and as fast as we may need to move, I do think it's necessary.
I have a question. You said we have to take this or go by a duration of time. Is there a minimum or a maximum time that we need to commit to?
It's a great question, Mayor, and the reality is that it's really going to be dependent on the federal government's declaration of emergency, on the state government's declaration of emergency, and then on the Fresno County Public Health Department's declaration of emergency. I will tell you that a few cities believe that it is the county's declaration that they can operate under in order to get reimbursement and to make decisions. There are other cities like Clovis, Selma, and frankly myself that believe we need to have a local one in place because our municipal code does specify. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a little bit different in every single city. But there is no minimum or maximum as defined right now because it all depends upon the extent of the disaster.
Great.
I just want to say thank you because, you know, all this is happening and I'm telling myself, what are we doing? I mean, just, God forbid that something would happen. It's nice to know that everything's in place in case. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I have my grandkids and I have my family here, and you know, it's just,
We have great directors who are on top of it, and let me tell you, you sometimes see the worst come out in people in a disaster, and I see the best come out, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, it's a good thing that we're doing this now. We're not waiting until something happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. People are already asking, what's really going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is an answer that we can give them.
Yes.
They're not panic, but they're concerned because people are going to the stores and there's been times when shelves are already empty here in Reedley.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they're not in a panic mood, but they're concerned.
Yeah.
My big thing is, have we talked to the hospital what they're doing?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Slano. A big part that I neglected to state, we have been in constant communication with our community partners. As a matter of fact, just last week, all of the CEOs for all of the major institutions within Reedley, we got together and had lunch and discussed, and that was before anything was shut down, any schools, mm-hmm. anything. So the hospital, the school district, Emmanuel Schools, Reedley College, the Chamber, Palm Village, we all get together once a month anyways, but last week was a meeting where we got together to discuss what would happen if there were closures, and sure enough, by the end of the week, they were. every day we are communicating with one another on what's going on. And in fact, the hospital administrator is one that we are coordinating with extremely closely, because we know that she will be the most impacted at this time, mm-hmm. should something occur. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up, because I neglected to state that. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for being proactive in this matter, because it definitely is important. We need it, and we have been asked, I'm sure we all mm-hmm. probably have been asked a time mm-hmm. or two, what is Reedley doing? And I just want to say thank you for being proactive. And I think we need to go ahead with this. It's just, we don't really have much of a choice. So do we need to make a motion?
I was going to say, Scott, did you want to make any comments as the attorney for the city?
No, I mean, everything that's been put forth, the staff report you've seen, the declaration, the proposed resolution is all in accordance with the code as authorized. And as Nicole said, I mean, it really sets up, I guess, the debate that maybe some of the cities have had is under the county's emergency declaration, they may be able to get some of the aid that's available, financial aid and financial assistance, but as far as the additional authority that's given to the director under the city's code, that doesn't necessarily flow just from either the governor's declaration or even the county's declaration. Mm-hmm. So in order to have, I guess, the full flexibility that we have for everything, the recommendation is to go with the declaration of the local emergency.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the public comments? Any other questions from the council?
And before motion is made, please feel free, if you'd like to call any of the directors about plans, concerns, anything like that. That's why they are here. So,
okay, does any council member have any questions?
I just have one question. Is there anything going on at all at the community center then? Because there's no school, so is there a daycare or?
You know, thank you again, a great question. As of yesterday, the state has shut down all preschools and daycare centers as well. So our preschool has been closed as of today. Chapter 1 has been closed as of today. We do know that this does impact our community in a way that most folks don't expect. Our preschool teachers do have some things that they're still be paid and still be doing. So they have lesson planning, they have disinfecting, and they have some other things that they're working on in planning, so they are being paid. As a matter of fact, I should say all of our employees at this point in time are being paid, and we are putting them to work and doing some planning and disinfecting and all sorts of good stuff. But for your specific question, no. Right now, we have no activities going on in the community center.
What about the river?
Well, I think the Cricket Hollow is open, but Reedley Beach is still closed, correct? Yes.
As of last weekend.
So it is still closed. We are disinfecting the bathroom frequently, but right now we did not have plans to close, and potentially that may be something we need to look at. Right now the president's order or guidance is you can still congregate if it's under groups of 10. Obviously the smart thing to do right now is just social distancing anyways. But if that's something the council would like us to look at doing right now, we certainly can. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions?
I make a motion we approve.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Faust?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Thank you, Council, Mayor. As we roll through this, I commit to you our transparency in the decisions that are being made, and we will keep you aware of everything that's going on. And I'm very thankful for John Ernest, by the way, because we've been in communication, and he's going to be running a few things for us as well. So, yeah, we'll
keep
you
posted. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Very good. This adjourns our meeting. We do have a closed session to
No closed session. This was it today.
Very good. Adjourns our meeting. Thank you for coming. Have a great day.